Good morning. I wanted to take a moment to preach a short sermon on a matter that is laid before us here in the United States with regard to the presidential election. We have before us a situation which, strangely, the church has remained silent. The ministers of the church, the public ones, the popular ones, the John MacArthurs, the Paul Washers, even the reprobates, the Ken Copelands, the Joel Osteens, are all silent on the matter of Rump Ranger Pete Buttigieg. The fact that the guy is an open homosexual being endorsed by the media and running for president. And everybody has remained silent. Nobody's saying anything. And I don't understand why. Our business as Christians is to preach the gospel. If we have to go into the streets to do it. But nobody has done it. So, as usual, it falls upon the Puritan, me, to go and say something about it, because I have nothing to lose. I have no tithe to be taken away from me. I mean, President Trump has allowed the church to preach politics from the pulpit and without fear of having your precious 501c3 revoked. But still, you're silent on this. So, I wanted to take a moment to go through the scriptures that reference this matter. And maybe, just maybe, somebody else besides me will say something. Anyway, the title of this sermon is, Where is the Church? Why are they silent? So, as usual, I will go straight to the scriptures. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Abomination. It's the worst thing that you can be to God. An abomination. A total reprobate. And now what do we find? That the punishment, that God's punishment is for such an offense. We'll go to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Their blood shall be upon them. They shall be put to death. Capital punishment. And I know there's going to be some of you that will say, well, Jesus never said anything about that. Well, I'm here to tell you, he didn't have to. He didn't have to. It was already, as I said before, a capital offense. It's the death penalty. He didn't have to say anything about it. Okay? Let's go to some more scripture. This time, let's go to the beginning of where we even first see of such a thing, of this homosexuality business. And let me just remind you that it's not just homosexuals, but it's the lesbians, the transgenders, the cross-dressers, the whole lot. The alphabet usurpers, as I call them, the LGBTQPI, whatever you want to call it, the rainbow thieves. It's these kind of people that God calls an abomination. And yet nobody in the church has said anything about it. Not to my knowledge, anyway. So, again, let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read about the word no. The word no. And again, please bear with me. I'm scrolling through the Bible here. Actually, no. Let's go to Genesis chapter 19, verse 5. Genesis chapter 19, verse 5. And here we are in this chapter. in the city of Sodom. And I'll read the scripture. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. The word know. The word know. We go to, I'm actually using a Sword Searcher software program that I use for my sermons. And in it has a Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is very valuable when it comes to understanding the definitions of words. Now, the liberals in our country have done their best to try to change the definitions of words. So modern dictionaries, while they may help in some things, they don't help in all things. I use this Webster's 1828 dictionary so that I have words that were defined prior to liberals taking control of them. Anyway, we get to the word know, and scroll down here, the sixth reference in here for the word know reads, in Scripture, to have sexual commerce with. And then it lists Genesis chapter 4. And we will go back to Genesis chapter 4 if you have your Bibles with you. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So in that reference, the word know or knew is sexual intercourse, which is what Genesis chapter 19, verse 5 has indicated. Now, to give it a little more context to verify what was said in Genesis 19, verse 5, where he said, bring them out to us that we may know him. In verse 7, Lot says, and said, I pray, you brethren, do not so wickedly. Which goes back to Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, is the fact that homosexuality is wickedness. Lesbianism, wickedness. Transgenderism, wickedness. It's wicked. And not wicked good, wicked evil. Wicked evil. Now here's some more scripture for you, if that's not enough. Judges chapter 19, verse 22. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, Belial being another name of the devil, sons of the devil, beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. We may know him. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24. And there were also Sodomites in the land. There another reference to Sodom being destroyed for their wickedness of homosexuality. Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. You know the story, Joshua. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, the Lord destroyed them because of their abominations. They were all like the United States is now, in Western Europe, and probably Australia, and anywhere else that isn't the Middle East, where still to this day, homosexuals receive the death penalty. So even in then, that the Muslims are actually obeying God's command, and the Christians stay silent. How can this be? Again, like I said before, because of that precious tithe money, that kickback, that tax break. Yeah, we don't want to have that interfered with now, do we? Anyway, I don't really want to digress too much on the matter. Let's go to the next portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, I did a sermon on this a couple of years ago called The State of Man Outside Christ, where I went through all of Romans 1, verses 15 through 32, and said that this is basically the way men are, reprobated. But specifically here, we see in chapter 1, Paul's letter to the Romans, verses 26 and 27. Actually, I'll go back and let's start with verse 24. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Now, the sermon last weekend, I went over the three or four verses about the heart of man and that it was deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And here Paul's saying the same thing. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served a creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. There's your verse on lesbianism. I've seen it a lot of times. Well, God never said anything about lesbians in the Bible. Yes, he does, right here in verse 26. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And again, you can throw abortion in there as well, because that certainly is against nature. And verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. It's spelled M-E-E-T, which was necessary and correct. Okay? There you have it. Right there. And I'll give you verse 28 just to continue. Matter of fact, I'll read the whole thing just so it stays in context. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, those are gossipers, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Worthy of death. Verse 32 sums up everything that's been laid out from verse 17 through 31. They which commit such things are worthy of death. And they not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Once more, here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, beta males in our generation, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Once more, here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, homosexuals, lesbians, transgenders, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Here is some more. Jude chapter 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh. Strange flesh. It's not natural to be a homosexual. It is not natural to be a lesbian. It is certainly not natural to be transgender. Are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. How much more do you need? Why is the church remaining silent? Why are professing Christians on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and any other form of social media remaining silent on the matter? Why? Because you'll get kicked off the platform? Why? Because somebody will call you a homophobe? Really? Since when do names hurt people? Is it because you're afraid to have your employer find out? And because they are not Christians, that you could lose your job? I mean, what is it? What is stopping you from saying anything? You know what the Lord says about people who don't stand up for the gospel. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to that scripture right here. Give me a second here and I'll type it up for you. The Lord says very plainly, and some of you may already know the verse and chapter where he says it. But here, I'm going to pause this for a second and then come back to it. Okay. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You could add into there that what I just told you. For those of you who are staying quiet because you're afraid you're going to lose your job or that people are going to not like you, okay? Whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. And the same thing is said in Luke chapter 17, verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. You're going to find that there's going to be a lot of people in your life that you meet, and I'm sure you probably already know this, that do not like to hear the Bible preached to them. Is that supposed to stop you from preaching? Of course not. Of course not. But in this case here, we have a man who is openly homosexual. There's pictures all over the internet of this guy making out with his husband, which is vile. And nobody seems to be saying anything about it, at least those that are calling themselves Christians. And why not? And just because of what I said just before, because you're afraid that people are going to say something about it. You think the Lord Jesus is going to stand up for you? Do you think he's going to just say, oh, well, I understand that you had to make a living. I understand that you could possibly ruin a chance to share the gospel, not that you've shared it before, other than the good stuff, the blessings, and leaving out the cursings. No, I'm not going to go and read Deuteronomy chapter 28, because it's way outside the scope of what I'm preaching now, but the point is that, are you really preaching the gospel to people? Okay? Pete Buttigieg is an abomination, a Manchurian candidate. Okay? You have to say something. Pastors, John MacArthur, you're the most known of all of us, and yet you've said nothing. Paul Washer, you're even known well above most of us, but you have said nothing. You're not going to hear anything on TBN about it. You're not going to hear anything on Daystar about it. You think Osteen is going to stand up there and say that, well, you know, the guy's a homosexual, and, well, you should probably say something about it, but you wouldn't want to lose your best life now because, of course, you're going to get hurt for it. So, no, maybe you better just be quiet. I mean, that's what you're basically saying by staying silent. You're not doing anything about it. You need to do something about it. You need to speak up. Don't just leave it to me to say it and you to stew on it and then let it go away like a seed that was planted and then Satan came and stole it away from you. Do something about it. Get this guy out of the race. So people will say, oh, call you a homophobe. Big deal. Is it really that big a deal? It should be a big deal. Because the guy calls himself a Christian. And there are lots of them that call themselves Christians. Has anybody stood to challenge them on it? I have. Why not you? I'm a nobody. It's time that people who are in these positions, that are public people, speak out against it. You know, Robert Jeffries isn't going to do it on Fox News. God forbid, Mike Huckabee's not going to do it. No, it's going to stand to us, the sheep, that have to stand up and speak out for the preservation of the gospel against such abominations. Anyway, there's a couple more things here that I can lay out for you, some more scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 50. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 12. That oppressed the poor and the needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, and hath committed abomination. Romans 1:24, I already read to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I already read to you. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, I already read to you. Again, this is not intended to be a really long sermon. The point is that I want you guys who are listening to this, and girls, men, women, ladies, gentlemen, whatever you want to call yourselves, hopefully Christians, stop staying silent. Speak out against it. So what if people call you names? So what if they threaten you with your tithes? Really? You pastors in the pulpit who have remained silent on this? Is the money really worth it? Is it worth getting kicked out of heaven for it? And I say that generally, because this isn't a sermon about the regenerate and the unregenerate and the visible and invisible church. I'll say these two verses one more time and then close the sermon. Mark chapter 8, verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And also Luke chapter 17, verse 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Stand up to be heard. Speak out against Rump Ranger Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Openly profess your love for Christ and the gospel. And just do it. Just do it. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to pray that you would grant the grace and strength to the people who are listening to this message, to consider deeply what has been given to them in the past 24, 25 minutes, and to understand that you mean what you say, to understand that you meant what you said when you said that those who stand for you, and I'm paraphrasing, that those who stand for you on earth, that you'll declare them before your Father.
and that those who don't stand before you, you won't declare them before your Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you would give them the strength and the courage to stand up for truth. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.